Good morning, everyone. And welcome to worship in First Omagh this morning. It's lovely to have you with us this morning. We open our service with our opening hymn 169, God is here as we his people. Let's stand and worship him together.
Thank you.
We come now before our great God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we gather in this place to worship you, we are conscious that we are here because you have called us to come, to be part of your worshiping people through faith in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. As we sing praises to your name, as we read and study your word, as we come before you in prayer, meet with us through the power of your Holy Spirit to guide, inspire, and encourage us in our daily walk with you as individuals and as a community of your people here in Oma. We are conscious, O Lord, that we all come from you, and that in your mercy and in your grace, you will give us all that we need to live for you in this world today. Forgive us, we pray, for the times when we take your goodness for granted, when we fail to walk in your ways, when we put our needs before the needs of others. Help us, we pray, to be a community of your people, united through faith in Christ, nourished by your word, and sent out to be Christ's ambassadors to the world, so that others might see the good news of the gospel displayed in the lives of his followers, and that they too would respond in faith to your call to them to come and follow you. These prayers we offer in the precious name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to invite the children down to the front this morning. I have some things that I want you to help me with. Morning. Now we need to budge up a little bit. Lovely. Josh, we need to make room there for Emily. If you put your feet down, she'll have a wee bit more room. Good boy. Lovely. Well, it's great to have you here this morning. Now, I want you to put your hands up if you like animals. Okay, some people like animals, some people not so keen on animals. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some groups of animals. And I want you to see if you can tell me, first of all, what the animal is, and then secondly, what the name would be of a group of those animals all together. Okay? So, like a flock of sheep, because sheep's not one of them. All right? That's the idea. So, the first animal that we have there, anybody know what animal that is on the screen? Josh? Fish. Anybody know what a group of fish are called? Jamie? A school of fish, yes, or a shoal of fish, both. But it's a school of fish was the one that the internet gave me, but I would have said a shoal of fish. So we'll leave it between it. That can be either a school or a shoal. But anyway, there's a group, okay, of fish called a school of fish. Now let's have the next one. What animal is that? A zebra. A zebra. Sophie, is that a zebra? And there's lots and lots of zebras there. Anybody any idea what a group of zebras is called? I didn't know this one either. Anybody out in the congregation know what a group of zebras is? Somebody say something? A herd? No, not a herd. A pack, not a pack. All good answers. Audrey, I told her about this the other day. She's got a heads up. What is it, Audrey? No, you must have been looking at a different internet one than me. It's a zeal of zebras. Yeah, a zeal of zebras. Now, I didn't check the authenticity of these group names. I just took them as the top 10 group names for groups of animals. So a group. So the next one then is... A hippo, well done, a hippo. Anybody seen a hippo in real life? In the zoo? Anybody seen a hippo out in the wild? Out in safari, I saw a whole big group of hippos, but I didn't get too close because they're really, really big animals. Anybody know what a group of hippos is? Hippopotamus. A hippopotamus, that's the full title of the hippos, well done. A hippopotamus. A group of hippopotami, would that be the right girl name? Hippopotamus. Anybody know? Okay, let's reveal the answer. A crash of hippopotamus. I think that's a great name for hippopotamuses, because when they all come together, they crash about in the water, don't they? The water goes everywhere, and the big jaws open up, don't they? They're quite frightening. Yes, and there was a hippopotamus that went round John and Rosemary Dunlop's tent in Malawi whenever we were there, but it was in the middle of the night, and Rosemary could hear the snuffling, and she woke John up. He couldn't hear a thing because he required a hearing aid. And when they got up the next morning, he said, "Don't be silly, don't be silly, don't be silly." And we got up the next morning, the ranger said, "Yeah, there's hippopotamus's feet around your tent." So she had heard the snuffling of the hippopotamus. You going back to your seat, Emily? Good girl. Okay, whoops, we'll go to the next one. What animal is that? Or more specifically, what bird is it? Yes, a flamingo. Aren't they lovely birds? Anybody know what the group name for a group of flamingos is? No. Audrey, with your prior research? No? Well, flamingos weren't what you looked at. No. Okay, it's a pat of flamingos. A pat of flamingos. Not quite sure why that is. Maybe you could all research that for next week. Now the next one. What animal's that? An elephant. Lots of elephants. And I was able to see some elephants who walked like this in Africa. But my photograph's not quite as good as that one. Anybody know what the group name for elephants is? A herd of elephants, yes, that would be the, like a herd of animals, that would be a common one used, but there's actually a particular name, and this photograph highlights it. Family is a good one, it's not family. Parade, yes, well done. A parade of elephants, and the elephants parade one behind the other. Now, what about a group of Christians? You might recognize some people in that picture, maybe some a bit bigger than others. You can't see. What do you think you might call a group of Christians? Anybody got an idea? Anybody here? Church? Congregation, that's right. So a congregation or a church, it's where a group of people who are like-minded all gather together as a congregation, like we are this morning inside our church building. So a group of Christians is like a congregation where we all congregate together, where we all come together, where we all sit together, where we all do the same things together. And being in a group is helpful, isn't it? Take the zebras, for example. If the zebras were in their group of zeal, what would be good about being in a group if, say, a lion came on the scene? What is it about the zebras that might confuse the lion? What's a zebra got all over its body? Stripes. So all the stripes together, it might make the lion a bit confused. Like, where is this one body? Where is this one zebra that I could attack? And it would get so confused that it wouldn't be able to attack it. And the technique for the lion, of course, is to try to get a zebra off on its own. And then that's when it can attack. So sometimes a group provides safety and protection. Just like as Christians, when we come together, it provides us with a safe place to be where we can share our worries and our concerns. And sometimes birds that are are in the air, in a flock over the sea, are work together in order to, when they see a shoal of fish, what do? They all dive in together, and so together they're able to feed and support one another. And it's a bit like that as a congregation, that we come together to feed on God's word and to learn from him. So it's good to be together, isn't it? It's not very nice to be on your own and lonely, is it? No. And it's lovely that you have come together to be with us in church today to learn about Jesus and about God and to be part of our wider family here. And what unites us together as Christians is our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And he is the one who has made us into a family. So we're going to sing our next song, which is song number 146, that reminds us that Jesus is the one who unites us, and he is the one who makes us into a group of Christians, and he is the one who makes us a family. And after this, it'll be time to go out to children's Sunday school and to creche. Okay, let's go. Come now to our community news, and I suppose it's very appropriate to welcome John back. We appreciate your lively accompaniment to that last song. It did actually get me to dance at the front, so next time that we sing it, we might get everybody doing the Jewish dance. It's a lovely Jewish feel and celebratory dance to it. I'd like to draw your attention to some of the notices that you'll find in the church sheet, announcement sheet. The first one relates to our Bible study, which this season is focused on Christ's heart of compassion. And it will be held on Thursdays. There'll be a morning group meeting in Audrey's house at 10:30. And then an evening group that will meet in the Rowan Hall. For those of you who have come to the Bible study over the last number of years, you normally then break into small groups in the church. This year we're going to try to do it a little bit differently and have everybody staying together in the Rowan Hall, but breaking out into small discussion groups. And we'll see how that goes over the next couple of weeks. But it'd be really encouraging if some new people came along to that Bible study. It's an opportunity to think about how we should be showing Christ's compassion in the world today, within the church and out in the community. So a lot of practical discussions we hope will take place as a result of the Bible studies that we will follow. And there'll be teaching on the screen from some of the ministers of our church, and a little example of how that might look in practice by looking at what a congregation in particular are choosing to do to show that aspect of Christ's heart of compassion. So a very practical and engaging way of looking at the Bible. So I would encourage people to come along to that on Thursdays, either in the morning with Audrey. Please check with Audrey that there's a room around her table. And then in the evening at 7:30 in the Rowan Hall. If you could sign the list in the vestibule, then we'll have a bit of an idea of numbers, so that we'll have the booklets available. And then next Sunday is a special Sunday for Jigsaw Blast and Tots. It's their Sunday where they're going to do some fundraising for the Sunday School Project, the Presbyterian Church in Ireland's Sunday School Project, which is Crecer Juntos, which is supporting children in Spain as they also come together to learn about Jesus. So they're fundraising by cooking a lovely, tasty breakfast. Well, I think the children might not be doing the cooking. I think perhaps the leaders will. But we'll be serving the big breakfast to those families who come along. And a family, we've just sung that Jesus taught us how to be a family. We're all part of the church family here in First Omagh. So everyone is invited to come along. But again, to make sure there's enough rashers of bacon and slices of toast, please contact the two names on the announcement sheet to make sure that we have enough food for everyone. And that will be from 10 o'clock to 11 next Sunday morning. And then we come into church. Everybody's going to stay in church for an all-age service where we'll look at this particular project and find out a little bit more about where the money is going to go and a little bit more about the congregations and the people who will receive from us. And there will be a retiring offering if you wish to contribute to the fundraiser. And then there's more food, as if that's not enough. After church today, the Sunday lunch bunch will meet, and that's an opportunity for people who live on their own to meet together, to have some food and share and some friendship and conversation. So again, an opportunity to meet. Could I ask those who are going to the Sunday lunch bunch to give time for Sunday school jigsaw to come out of their own hall before going in? So you might want to take a little bit longer in your own seat there until you get up to move so that parents can collect their children and head home for their lunch. And then another opportunity to eat together. And that's this Thursday in the Struil Arts Centre on the top floor. Oma Church's Forum are hosting two Lenten lunches. The first one will take place this Thursday in Struil Arts, an opportunity to share with people throughout our community over a cup of coffee and a sandwich and a short reflection, and then some practical things to take home to help people focus on the season of Lent. Again, a warm invitation is extended to anyone to come along to that or to invite a friend or a neighbour, and it's a free lunch, and you'd be welcome to come along. The rest of the notices you can read at your leisure. I'm delighted to say that Ivy Turner has agreed to lead us in our prayers for others this morning. So I'd like to invite Ivy to come forward and bring her prayer and our offering of prayer to God. Thank you.
Let us pray. Father God, let us remember in our prayers this morning the people of the third world, where there is so much famine and drought. Father, protect the aid workers, missionaries, doctors and nurses, and that food, medical supplies and shelter will reach those in need. Almighty God, whose blessed Son went about doing good and healing all manner of sickness, we pray for surgeons, doctors, nurses, ambulance men and women, air ambulance crews and paramedics, for the people who are ill in hospital, convalescing at home or ill at home, people who are waiting to have operations, test results or transplants, for people who are going through treatment, give them comfort at this very anxious time. We remember the people in China and other countries who have been affected by the coronavirus. Father, we remember the members of the armed forces who are in war-torn areas of the world, especially those in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and other war-torn areas. All those who are bereaved or injured, some with life-changing injuries, as a result of these atrocities. May peace and harmony come to their countries. Not forgetting the vast number who have had to flee their homes or have had their homes destroyed, the people who are in hiding or in jail due to no fault of their own. Almighty God, bless our church, our minister Jane, as she prepares a sermon each Sunday, visits patients in hospitals, nursing homes, the housebound, and families in our congregation who need pastoral care. Loving Father, we give thanks to the session and committee members of First OMA for the everyday tasks they undertake in the running of this church. We also give thanks to the leaders of Jigsaw and Blast, who faithfully teach and encourage the children each week. We remember Emma, our youth family and outreach worker, who works tirelessly in organising events to bring fellowship to our church. This morning, I direct my prayers to you, knowing that you will hear my words. Amen.
Thank you very much, Ivy, for that prayer. And we are a family, a church gathered together, and so we're going to sing our next hymn, which is a hymn that helps us to think about the others. Brother, sister, let me serve you. It's hymn number 588. Our scripture reading this morning will be read for us by Margaret Mitchell, and it's Acts chapter 20, verses 43 to 47. And this can be found on page 150 of the Bibles in the pews. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 43.
Life among the believers. Many miracles and wonders were being done through the apostles, and everyone was filled with awe. All the believers continued together in close fellowship and shared their belongings with one another. They would sell their property and possessions and distribute the money among all according to what each one needed. Day after day they met as a group in the temple, and they had their meals together in their homes, eating with glad and humble hearts, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved.
Thank you, Margaret. Over the last number of weeks, we have looked at life in God's story and how God called the world into being, how he called the children of Israel into being, and now we're going to look at how he has called the church into being. In all of these callings, God did not just work with one person, but with people together in relationship. He created man and woman. He created marriage and family and community. He created human beings in his own image to be in a relationship with him. But when humanity sinned and turned away from God, he did not abandon us to our fate. Instead, he called a nation into being. He called Abram and his wife Sarah to follow him. And then through them, he called a great nation into being, the people of Israel. They were God's special people. He was their God. They were in covenant relationship with one another. The people of Israel were separate and apart from the rest of the world, but they were called to be a light to the Gentiles, to point people towards God. But the children of Israel too turned away from God, breaking covenant with him, and so God sent his son Jesus into the world to call a new people together. A new people who are formed through Christ's death and resurrection, called to be a new people, the church. And that new people were clothed on high with the power of God's Holy Spirit. And that's what we looked at last week, how God's Holy Spirit clothes us with power to enable us to be Christ's witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So as believers, we are called together to be church. But what does it mean to be church? When I say the word church, what is the first thing that pops into your mind? Maybe it is a building. Maybe it's this building, First Oma Church, Dublin Road. I'm often asked, and what church do you minister in? And I will say, oh, it's First Oma Presbyterian Church on the Dublin Road. Do you know where DAC is? Yes, yes. Do you know where Oma Academy is? Yes, yes. You know the big building in between those two? Well, that's First Oma Church, because so many people don't know the name of the church, which amazes me. And yet, you know, there are probably other buildings and places, maybe some pubs and stuff in the town that I maybe wouldn't actually be able to name or to direct somebody to. But because I come here regularly and the church is part of my life, I know where it's situated. But is the church really the building? Is it the bricks and the mortar and the lovely beams and the beautiful pipe organ and the nice pews and the comfortable cushions that we sit in? Many people identify their church by their building, whether that's Trinity or St. Columbus or Life Triumphant Church in Campsie or Capel and Gwali Prayer House in Malawi. But what makes them church is not the building that they meet in, whether it be a beautiful building as old as this or something that has yet to be finished, as in the prayer house in Malawi. The church is not the building. Perhaps you might say the church is an institution. Think of the denominational church, the Presbyterian church, the Anglican church, the Catholic church, the community church, to name but a few of those who are formed into an institution. The church was established over 2,000 years ago, so it is, in one sense, an institution. It has its history and its rules and its regulations, its code of conduct, its ways of doing business, its mission statement, its belief systems, its liturgy, its leadership structure. And all of these things are important because they identify what we believe and how we seek to live in the church and in the world. And it sets us apart from other organisations in the secular world, and even sets us apart from the different denominations that there are in the world because of the different belief systems that we have and the different doctrines that we own. But the institution is not the church, although sometimes it does act as if it is. The church is a group of believers. It's a group of people who gather together to worship God. It is a group of people who believe in Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. It is a group of people who believe in the gift of the Holy Spirit and how he leads and guides us in the world today. The church is a group of people who believe and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. A group of people who seek to live their lives in ways which bring glory and honour to his name and to our Heavenly Father. It's a group of people who are believers, who are individual people, but we are all united together through that faith in Christ. Young and old, black and white, male and female, rich and poor. I love the little image that I've selected for the church, which is the people all standing together, one on top of the other, linking arms. And I particularly like that image because it shows different generations of people. There are older people there, people with Zimmer frames. There are young children there. There are disabled people there in wheelchairs. There are mums and dads in that picture. Everyone, all generations, working together. And I particularly like the fact that it's the granny that's down in the corner holding everybody together. And it's the granda that's setting the cross on the top of the church. And it's the little girl that's holding up the cross at the side. All generations working together. And we must be grateful for those generations who've gone before us, the older generation who passed down the faith to us, who showed us what it meant to be a Christian, who lived that out in their lives and encouraged us to follow them. People who were willing to show that they had a living and an active faith in Jesus, and they were willing to commit to work together in his church. Togetherness is a key word for the church. We are all called to one faith, one body, one mind, different people, but all called together to worship one Lord and one Saviour, Jesus Christ. Yes, each person must respond personally to that offer of salvation, to know for themselves that Christ died for their sin. But as such, they then become part of the body of the church. And together we witness and worship and care for one another. Ephesians 3 and verse 6 says, "This mystery is," the mystery of the church says, "that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus." So we are joined together, Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, members together in one body, sharing together in the promise of Christ that he has for his church. That promise is the eternity that God has promised to us through faith in Christ. That promise that the Holy Spirit will dwell with us as we seek to live for God in the world today. All believers from across the generations and across the world are united together in praise and wonder. And we will look at the fulfillment of that promise on Sunday the 15th of March when we look at concluding our series on proximity in the book of Revelation and that wonderful promise of eternity. The end, or perhaps we should say the beginning of life in God's story. But for now, we're here in this world today. We are believers called together in this congregation, united through our faith in Jesus Christ. So what does this togetherness look like? Well, the first and most important characteristic of the church, of a group of believers gathered together, is our devotion to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. He is the reason that we gather here together. He is the one who unites us together. He is the one who feeds us through his word. He is the one who enables us to live for him in the world today. We should be first and foremost people who are devoted to our Saviour Jesus. In our scripture passage this morning, we see that faithful characteristic in the early church found at Pentecost, the passage that Margaret read for us this morning. What does their togetherness, their oneness look like? First of all, they were devoted to the teachings of the apostles. They wanted to learn more about Jesus, what he was like, what he taught, how he showed his power, how he treated others when he lived in this world, what his relationship with his heavenly Father was like. They all wanted to know what that was about, and they asked the apostles who had lived with Jesus those 3 years to tell them, to teach them about that. And then how could they apply that in their lives today? How could they be like Jesus in Jerusalem and in Judea? How could they live out their lives as believers of Jesus? They had the books of the Old, as we call it, the Old Testament, and the oral teaching of Jesus that was passed down to through the disciples. But we today in the church have much more than that, don't we? We have the final form of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the record of Jesus' life here on earth. We have the account and acts of how the church spread. We have the letters of the apostles to the churches, encouraging them in faith as they faced difficulties and trials. And we have the wisdom and the guidance of those who have followed down through the generations until today. So we have so much, so many resources. But are we devoted to reading those scriptures, to understanding what it means to be a Christian, to understanding the truth that's discovered and how we can apply that in our lives? Then we're called into fellowship as well with one another. We don't do it on our own, but we do it together, sharing with one another, loving one another, caring for one another, rebuking one another in love, forgiving one another, working together with one another. And so we should be a fellowship that work together with one another, like a family. Those disciples also broke bread. They remembered that they were united through the faith that they had in Jesus Christ. They remembered his body broken and his blood shed for them. And finally, they were people of prayer. They were willing to meet together, to pray together, to bring their needs and their worries and their concerns before their great God who heard them. They were willing to pray together for one another's needs, whether that be led in prayer by the leader of the group, whether that was sharing in prayer with one another, whether that was taking time in quiet prayer and reflection before God. All of that shows the devotion that they had for their Saviour, Jesus Christ. And these elements must be central to our lives as a church, as it's what gives us our life. It's what feeds us and encourages us to live day by day. So we are united together through our devotion and our commitment to Jesus. We are also united together in our commitment to one another in community. The community of the saints. We're called to be a people together, a congregation in our sense here in the Presbyterian Church. It's a vital part of our relationship with God, the relationship that we have with other people, with other believers. It's not just about coming to church on a Sunday, although that's one place where we can come and gather together. But it's how that community works out in the rest of our lives throughout the week. We are united together as family on a Sunday morning. But when we scatter out throughout the community, we are still that family. We may not be together with one another, but we are still the same. We are still that family showing those same characteristics, sharing life with one another. The joys and the sorrows, the good times and the more difficult and challenging times. We are to meet together. We are to know one another. We are to know each other's lives. We are to know the good things that are going on and the challenging times, not because we're nosy, but because we care, that we're called together to be in relationship with one another, to share those difficulties and those trials. That early Christian church needed one another because they faced great trials. There was a struggle of being a Christian who was a slave and who was a slave to a cruel master. What did that mean for them in their day-to-day lives? We have the same challenges today. What about one of us out in the workplace and the struggles that we might have with a boss who's a bully or a work colleague who tells lies about us or trying to run a business whenever people are stealing from you, your staff are stealing from you, all those sorts of issues that are around us in our day-to-day living. That impacts who we are as Christians, and we should be supported in our fellowship with one another as we meet together and share those concerns and bring them before God in prayer. There is great pressure on the world outside, from the world outside and the culture that surrounds, just as those early Christians faced pressure and trial, and many of them were persecuted and put to death because of their faith. And yet the commitment that they had one with the other encouraged those believers to keep on going when difficulties came, when people got sick, when people died. They met together, they shared together, they supported one another, they were in community. And then, of course, the next aspect of community life is the one that I enjoy, but the one that I'm very challenged in at the moment. It's the fact that Christians, when they meet together, eat together. It's part of who we are. If we look at the scriptures, they're full of things about people sitting down together to share in food with one another. Think of the Old Testament, the Passover, when they came out from Egypt. What did they do? They had a Passover meal. The people gathered together. They shared with one another over food. They remembered God's goodness to them. When they were out in the desert, what did God provide? Manna for them to eat. When Jesus came to live amongst the people in Israel, he was challenged because what did he do? He sat down and had meals with sinners. He met in their company. He shared table with them. And so we are called to share in fellowship with one another, to be people who are hospitable, to be people who are willing to open up. And it's when we're sitting having a meal with someone that the barriers come down and we're able to get to know each other better and we're able to share with one another. I was delighted to be invited out last night for a meal with some friends. I was even more delighted that the hostess was willing to cook me a calorie-light meal because, as many of you know, I'm on a slim for spring. But still that opportunity to sit down around a table, to share in conversation and to share life and to share worries and concerns as well as joys is a wonderful thing, and it's something that we should indeed encourage. And our Sunday lunch bunch will be celebrating that this afternoon, the Lenten lunch, and of course the big breakfast next week. So the Lord certainly plans my sermons and this opportunity for us to have fellowship with one another. It's important to be together. And the Christian community also supports one another financially. The lifestyles of those first believers were all very different. Some who were slaves and had no income of their own. Some who were owners of slaves and had large businesses and were very wealthy. Some who had education and others who had no education. So they were willing to share the resources that they had with one another in their time of need. So those who had a lot sold something if they knew that their brother or sister was in need to help them out and to support them, and to support the ministry of their church. And it's the same with us today, isn't it? We financially and resourcefully support the work of Christ's church in the world as we are equipped. And it's a difficult one in the pulpit to be preaching about financial giving when I know that my salary comes from your purses, that you give generously into the collection plate week by week, month by month, and year by year, and some of that ends up coming through my bank account on a monthly basis, and I am forever grateful for that, as I know Emma is too, and Erwin, and those who participate in some of the paid jobs around the church, and we do appreciate that. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to support one another and the ministries of the church. But not just those paid employments, but to support the ministry of our children through the giving and the support of the resources that people give to Sunday school, whether that be financial resources or commitment of time. And then there's the resources that we support the mission of our church. Our mission overseas, United Appeal, on Sunday the 8th of March, Neil Harrison is going to come and talk to us about the United Appeal and how the money that we give through that appeal is used in order to advance the Christian community in Ireland and across the world. And then we have our own charities, the Leprosy Mission, the PW Mission, the Orphan Society, all of those opportunities for us to give of our resources. But the early church gave generously. And again, when we talk about financial giving, it's often that we're preaching to the converted, to the people who come regularly, to the people who do support us financially and with their resources and with their commitments to the church. But we need to think about, have we given enough? If God has given us lots, should we not also share lots with others? So it's an opportunity for us to reflect upon our own giving. So we're called in togetherness to be in community, to support one another through life's changes, to support one another through financial support, and to support one another in the work of the church. But we're not just a club, as I mentioned last week. We're called to be witnesses to the world. We're called to share what we have with other people. Those first Christians didn't just keep their faith to themselves. If they had done, the church would have died when they died. But they passed that on, not just to their own family members, but to other people, to bring other people into the kingdom. And so we are together to be witnesses for God in the world. And we're not to be insular looking, but actually looking outwards towards the community. I love this picture on the screen. I don't know if you can see it quite so clearly, but there are three figures all holding hands around the world. And you look at it one way, it looks as if they're looking inwards. And when you're looking at another way, it's as if they're looking outwards. And that's the way the church should be. It should be looking inwards in devotion, in faith, to be fed and nourished by God so that they can move outwards and share what they've been given with other people. We are to be people who are willing to go out beyond our church walls to share the good news of the gospel with others, whether that be in the workplace or in the home, in our friendship circles, at our rugby clubs, in our book clubs, in the neighbourhood, with a stranger in need, with someone who is an outcast in our community. Many ways in which we as church can be people who are not insular, but people who are willing to share the good news of the gospel and our love and compassion with those in the world. And if we do that, the Lord will bless us. Those early Christians worshipped together, ate together, shared life together, but they were not an exclusive clique. Instead, they went out into the world to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the joy that comes with knowing him. And as a result, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As they witnessed for Christ, the Lord brought people into faith to join them in their community so that the love, the joy, the peace, and the forgiveness of Christ could extend throughout the kingdom and the church could grow throughout the world. So as we've studied this passage in Acts 2, we have looked at the opportunities that we have to come together in devotion, the opportunities that we've had to be a community, the opportunities that we have had we have to be a witness. So I want to speak on each one of those and just give you a little challenge to think about what area of your faith life do you think needs most focused upon? Or what area do you think our church's faith life, our congregation's faith life needs to be focused on at the moment? Is it devotion? Do we need to spend more time in devotion to Jesus, in studying his word, in praying to him, in sharing our faith with one another? There are many opportunities in our church to do so, Regular attendance at worship is one of them, and I'm grateful that I'm not speaking to an empty church this morning, but that people regularly come to worship together, to share with one another, to let the Spirit speak to them and to guide them. We also have the opportunity to go to the Bible study series on Christ's heart of compassion. We also have prayer meetings and the prayer chain, the prayer bulletins in your notices. You could use those to stimulate your own prayer life and pray and seek God's blessing upon the situations that you bring before him in prayer. There are also many opportunities in which we can read the Bible or get reflections online through Bible reading notes, through internet searches, through going to the Faith Mission shop in Campsie if you don't have internet and buying a book, reading a gospel, deciding to spend time just reading the story of Jesus' life. There are many, many opportunities for us to develop our devotional life. So maybe it's your devotional life that you want to focus on as the priority for you over this next number of weeks. Or maybe it's that sense of community. Have you been challenged to get to know other people in our congregation a little better? Maybe thinking about inviting somebody for a coffee and a chat. Or if you belong to an organisation, inviting somebody to come along to that, whether that be the craft club or the coffee stop or the bowls or the Bible study. Trying to find ways in which we can get to know one another and support and encourage one another. Maybe you could bake a cake and share it with somebody, but not with Emma and I until after Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. Or you could write an encouraging letter or a text message to someone, sending them a card. You could think about your financial givings to the church and to the mission and to charities, and how can you support them more financially. So there's many ways in which we could build community together. Or is it the final area of witness? In what ways could you share the love of God with someone outside of the Christian faith? With young people who are struggling with mental health issues and addictions and low self-esteem, trying to find their way in life? Or with the elderly who are coping with increasing mobility needs, with loneliness? How could we show Christian love and witness to them? Offering to pray with them, offering practical help, offering a listening ear, being willing to share with them the reason that you do it, because you're a follower of Jesus who loves them and wants them to know him. And finally, remember, we don't do this on our own, but part of a community of people together, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we do it not on our own, but in the power of God's Holy Spirit and in the wonderful name of Jesus, who came to offer a relationship with our loving eternal God through his death on the cross. So I finish with the words of the great missionary and church founder Paul, who said in Ephesians chapter 3, "I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So we take Paul's example, a man who thought the least of himself, but by the power of God was one of the greatest witnesses to the gospel, who was one of the founding fathers of so many churches in Asia, but the one who spent time in devotion before his heavenly Father, trusting in Jesus as his Saviour and in the power of his Holy Spirit to lead and guide him. Let us follow his example and be church in this place and in Oma and in the world today. Amen. Your offerings to God will now be received. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the glorious riches that you have given to us in Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord. So we ask that you would take these, our thank offerings, and use them to advance his kingdom in this place and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we finish our service with a hymn that reminds us that we can only do these things through the strength and the grace of Jesus Christ. So hymn 512, May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. Let's stand and worship him. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.